on with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and I am sitting outside in my backyard cooking OPA while talking to my faithful and well-fed co-host, Dr. Jason Berkley. You did eat dinner, correct?
Yeah. Jay, you have to remember something. You and I are on totally different schedules.
Big
you're
time.
On a surgeon's, you're on a surgeon's schedule. I'm on a regular doctor schedule. And what that means is, for the lay people out there, is basically that you don't sleep. You get home at different hours, which can vary, but there's no calming down that brain of yours. And if you do calm it down, because you're all hepped up on espresso and coffee.
He's been down in the basement drinking coffee for the last 4 hours. I'm going to bring him up. His name's Jay Calvert. Give him a big hand.
Right. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
I'm sorry, Bobs.
Rolling doobies.
Well, actually, we encouraged Matt in his writing studies. Sometimes, Dad, yeah. I wish you'd just shut your big yapper.
He's the best. But so, and then by the time your brain calms down, you know, it's maybe, what, 1 a.m. You sleep for, what, 47 minutes or so, and you're raring to go. For me,
that's true.
I'm home at more reasonable time. I eat dinner at, 5:30. And honestly, by 6:45, after if I've worked out or not, I'm ready to go to bed. I'm already planning. I'm in the shower. Yeah, so it's totally different. So we're on like different time zones, even though we're both in California.
Well, you know, the thing is that, I can't get enough of the surgery. It's really fun.
We talked about that. That's the thing that sets a surgeon apart from all the rest of us. You guys, I think other than watching hockey and sex, would rather be in the OR all day long doing surgery.
I'm going to switch up that order by one. So,
okay. I'm not necessarily in that order, but
I might do a little rearrangement of those three things. But for the most part, you're correct.
But right, but my point is that you learn early on. I knew early on I did not want to be in the OR. I did not want to be a surgeon. I couldn't wait to go home. I enjoy what I do very much, and when I'm in the OR for injections, I enjoy it. But there's a limit. You guys don't have a limit.
No.
If someone said, hey, Jay, I had a great case over here, and you've been there for, you know, how many hours, you're right back in the OR. You're scrubbed right in.
That is 100% correct.
There's no stopping. I know. And I know how you tick. And it's also, you guys also have this thing, and I don't know what it is. It's like this ego thing or whatever of either not eating and not peeing. Because you guys will literally go hours, and someone will say, I haven't eaten for 94 hours straight. And then the other person will come in and say, I haven't eaten for 160 hours. And it's just like, you know, it's a macho thing.
I have an extra 10 pounds on me that says that I definitely don't do that, for sure.
Well, I got yelled at by the chief surgery resident when I was an intern for running down and basically eating in a hot dog in like 38 seconds.
Well, you got to eat, man.
I was shamed. I was like, I felt no shame. I was hungry. I'm sorry. I got to eat.
You were food shamed.
Yeah, I was hungry from standing there for 9 hours holding a retractor, and my arm was cramped up. That was always fun.
That happens.
Don't even look at it. Just stand there and hold the retractor.
That's right. There was a guy at Pittsburgh that had so many fellows that would come and watch him, this transplant guy, that he didn't even use like Bookwalters and all these big retractors for his liver transplants. He would take the fellows and he'd literally make them stand with their hands cupped like this, you know, where they like literally they'd make it into the shape of a Richardson retractor. And they would stand around the table and he'd take their hands and position them to hold the abdominal wall. And they called that the Satoru Toto bunny hop position. And so
when you went in,
you had to go in and stand at the table and he'd take your arm and put it someplace. He'd be like, here. And then he'd do these liver transplants in like 6 hours or less. He was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, you guys, I got to hand it to you. There was a guy in my intern class, good, real good dude. He's actually over in Florida now doing, he's a cardiothoracic guy. We all knew he was going to be a surgeon. There's just a certain mentality you guys have, a certain way about you guys, and you all have that same DNA in you. All the women, all the men that I knew, and I know that our surgeons are all the same.
Yeah, they're wired that way.
You're wired that way. It's just a certain je ne sais quoi, as they say, that you guys all have.
Thank you.
And it's impressive, but I could never do it. I'm just not up to the challenge.
Well, you don't have to be. All we're doing here is the Dr. Hockey podcast, and yet again, there is still no hockey.
Well, hold on a minute. We have an announcement from the NHL Players Association today. It came out July 6th, hot off the presses. So it says the NHL – this is great, by the way. I like how they say this. The National Hockey League, in parentheses, NHL, as if we didn't know what that meant. Okay.
Well, they've been gone a long time. They just want to remind everybody.
Well, they put the NHL in there. What does that mean? What does NHL stand for? I forgot. So I'm so glad they clarified that for us. But the NHL has reached a tentative agreement on a return to play plan and memorandum of understanding that adds an additional 4 years to the term of the current collective bargaining agreement. Okay, blah, 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 blah. So as part of that agreement, the following dates have been established. So we have established dates now.
Okay.
July 13th, start of formal training camps. So that's basically today's the 6th?
Today's
so
6th.
A week from today, next Monday, is the official start of training camp. July 26th, clubs travel to hub cities, which have officially been named, I believe, Edmonton and Toronto, correct?
I'm not sure. Edmonton and Toronto?
I believe it's Edmonton and Toronto. I believe it's Edmonton and Toronto.
That makes sense.
August 1st, start of qualifying rounds. So hockey officially starts August 1st. Now, this is obviously a tentative agreement. It has to be approved, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, so those are the dates that we have right now. Now, throw in the mix, which anyone that's ever done algebra, we always have our variable, our X.
Right.
Right? The X in this equation is COVID.
Of course.
And recently, as you know, numerous players in the St. Louis Blues organization have contracted COVID. So it begs the question, to what extent is this playing schedule going to be written in stone? Number two, is this viable? Number three, is this going to potentially cost lives?
I say yes to all of the above, believe it or not. Because
the players still have, I think, 3 days before training camp, I think, and don't quote me on that, but to opt out of not playing.
Oh,
so some players can say, I'm not going to play.
Yeah, I could see that.
But with the hockey mentality, do you think that's a reality that anyone will actually do that?
Excellent segue from the surgical mentality. No, they will all play.
Well, back up a minute. It is a very similar mentality.
Totally. So they'll all play.
Yeah, which is why I'm not a surgeon, nor am I playing hockey. But but it is something that we recently just were having a discussion about testing, that the antibody testing may not be foolproof. There's a certain percentage of asymptomatic patients that don't show antibodies, IgG or IgM that we've talked about before. The IgM in particular, which shows acute infection. So it makes it harder to detect. But when you have a team and players already are showing symptoms, what's your take on this, Dr. Calvert? I mean, really, what do you think is going to happen here? And is this, like I said, is this risking lives to play a game?
I don't think you're out of line in saying that it's risking lives, but it's not the lives of the players. The players may get COVID. They'll be okay. They're going to have the best treatment.
What makes you say that?
Because I think they'll get treated. I think there's a lot of...
Treated with what, though?
I think a lot of people are being treated with hydroxychloroquine that nobody wants to talk about because it's all taboo.
It's not taboo, because recently there was an article that came out from a study from over 2,000 patients from Henry Ford in Detroit, where I actually did my first fellowship in neurophysiology, that said hydroxychloroquine given with zinc and azithromycin or Z-Pak actually is effective in treating COVID and actually reduces death rates and is actually effective. So we do have a treatment of some sort has to be given early.
No, and I think I think if you go back to my original YouTube video where I said the key to this pandemic is early diagnosis, early treatment. Well, we're getting really good at early diagnosis. For whatever reason, nobody wants to treat. And that's just flat out stupid in my book. Why would you not treat early on, if you catch somebody with COVID, give them the hydroxychloroquine, wipe out the virus, and be done with it. This isn't rocket science to me. It seems to be rocket science to everybody else.
Well, here's my question, though. So hypothetically speaking, and God forbid this happens, I am only asking this as a hypothetical because it's going to be going through. Let's say a player contracts it, ICU, and dies.
Right.
Where does the NHL stand then? And it's mid-season. Do they continue playing? Just power on? This is a very, very realistic scenario and something that, again, as I said, I hope it doesn't happen, but it is something that very well could happen.
Right.
In shape or not. So what do they do at that point?
So this is what I say. What I tell my patients, you're having surgery during a pandemic. Okay. That means that there's no way to stop the virus. There's no way to prevent you getting it. And this is my consent for the surgery, is that you have to agree.
Are the players consenting to this?
They're going to have to consent. They're going to have to say, I cannot be saved from the pandemic. I choose to play in my own will. And if I die from COVID, it's not the fault of the NHL. It's the fault of the pandemic. And that's what I tell my patients. I say, you cannot have surgery and come back and say, I can't believe I got COVID-19 because I had surgery. I want to sue you. I want to this. I want to that. I said, I cannot save you from the pandemic.
But does the season continue? If you have a player that dies mid-season or mid-playoff with this, what does that do? Or multiple players? I mean,
You continue because you can't save them from the pandemic. Can you save somebody from a slap shot to the head that hits a weird place and they rupture an aneurysm you didn't know about in their circle of Willis? Well, other players are going to have an aneurysm in their circle of Willis, possibly. We don't know. So you can't. That's you can't play it that way.
A little different. But
it is a little different.
I know what you're saying.
But it's like, oh, somebody died. Let's shut down hockey. Oh, somebody died during the pandemic. Well, you know what? That person might have died anyway. It's a hard thing to stomach, that's for sure. But I don't think we can hide from the fact that we have to live with COVID-19 now. Do we change society? Do we all go underground like moles and hope that it doesn't come get us there? Well, it's going to come get us there. It's a pandemic of a bad virus, which will be solved over the next, I think, 6 to 16 months. And when it does get solved, then things will change. And people will still die from it. I mean, I know now probably 5 people close to friends of mine who have died from this virus. And it was all, there were people that were in nursing homes. There were people that were really sick. And they got it, as everybody else did in that nursing home. And some of them lived, some of them didn't. And it's terrible. But should we move everybody out of nursing homes? Well, we can't do that. What are they going to do? Tell them to go home and start cooking breakfast? They can't take care of themselves. I mean, it's really terrible. I understand all that.
But also, here's the thing, too. Then taking all that aside, the optics, I think, also are somewhat concerning just in general from some fans, and I've seen it on social media, just saying that it's not worth it and they should shut it down. The optics are not good if a player dies playing this in this situation for a game, that probably should, in my opinion, as I've said before, and I love hockey as much as anybody else, and you can call me whatever you want and this and that, but I think they should just shut it down and wait till next season. Start the season late in December when we have 6 more months under our belt of this. Maybe a treatment, maybe a vaccine to give partial, like a flu vaccine to give partial immunity. But I think it's just you're rolling the dice, and it's just the odds are not in our favor. That's all.
That's true, but I have a different approach to this. I think that it is that there's a very, very slim chance that a player will die from COVID-19. Slim chance. It'll be somebody that has, if it were, it's somebody that has some other underlying thing that they didn't know about. You know, and I think they will get sick. I mean, so I just had a patient who's like, oh, I really want to go down to Cabo San Lucas. My friend goes every year, and we go every year, and we're going to test everybody, and it's all going to be great. And I said, yeah, and somebody's going to get COVID-19 while you're there. And sure enough, she goes down, she comes back, she's sick. She's got it, for sure. And I was like, well, what do you think was going to happen? Like, everybody who's traveled that I know in the last, like, 3 to 4 months who hasn't worn an N95, who hasn't worn the goggles, which she didn't, she's like, well, I don't need it. I'm only this age or whatever. I'm like, right. Well, you do. You do. You are on a plane with other people in a closed place where they circulate the air, and all it takes is for one of those flight attendants who you've never met to have COVID-19, and you're going to get it. You will get it. It's not a question.
Going on a plane right now is like literally crawling into a sewer tank and expecting not to get hepatitis.
You're going to get it. That's right. Yeah. You know, you're going to get it. So it's like, don't do that. Now, if you're in a facility, like, I think the players have more chance of getting COVID-19, like going to the parties and all the things that you know are going to happen. And that's going to be the problem. It's not going to be the on-ice stuff and all that, because they're going to check their temps. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. So they're going to be victims of a pandemic, not because of hockey, but because the pandemic will roll through.
Well, listen, we have baseball starting up, I think August 1st as well. I think it's around there, or coming up very soon. It's July something, actually. So
that's Al.
Listen, we're going to have a lot of sports going on, and it's a different world.
That's Dr. Jason.
That's him. I'm proud of him.
This is a very unique way to do the podcast, by the way. It is like camping, as a matter of fact. Well, we'll see. I would put everybody on.
You look like you're deep in the Ardennes forest right now.
with a deck
umbrella behind you, but still.
You know, these trees all of a sudden come to mind as being dangerous to my home. As my patient today, who you sent over.
Yes.
Has had a tree fall on her house.
Right, yeah, that was a pretty horrible situation.
Unbelievable.
Lucky that no one was in the pool.
So that's the thing. I'm looking up at this hill now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at those.
Yeah.
Like, how big are those trees?
Yeah.
Like, both of my neighbors have cut their trees down. Am I missing the point?
I would say maybe have an arborist come out and take a look at those and just give their opinion about it.
They look every year, and they go, they're great. They're amazing. So, I don't know.
There you go.
Well, man, let's see what happens. Let's keep an open mind. I'm trying very hard to get you the guest of the century for you onto our podcast, but everybody's like in a huff now that the hockey's coming back, which thank God it is.
I'm not in a huff. I want to clarify something. I'm not in a huff. I'm excited as hell about hockey. Believe me, I love it. I just, you know, it's that cautious thing in the back of my mind. I'm like, is it just worth it? And I don't know if it is. I hope it gets through and everyone's safe. That's all I'm going to say on it.
I think they will. I think it's going to be great. I think they'll be smart about it. I don't understand why we haven't done prophylaxis. Why isn't everybody taking 400, you know, 200 on Monday, 200 on Wednesday of hydroxychloroquine? Like, if we were in Africa right now, we'd be on it. If we went to Kenya for a visit to a medical conference, you and I would be on hydroxychloroquine. We would ask no questions.
No. See, if we were in Germany, then the guy in the top bunk has to make the guy in the bottom bunk. But we're not, so you have to make mine. That's how it is. It's regulations.
I didn't know that. And that's how that works. Well, we're not in Germany, nor are we in Kenya. So for now,
that was Dewey Oxberger.
I got you. That's an old one.
For those playing at home, Dewey Oxberger from Stripes,
1982, right?
To the cruiser. Came out in 81, I want to say. Stripes,
fantastic.
I think it was 81, 82. Yeah.
Daddy, she's trying to light me on fire.
Kate, don't light Elle on fire.
Spectre came out in 81. See how good I am?
Pretty good.
My movies.
I had another one for you that I wanted to nail, but I can't. It's not coming to me. I was like, oh, I'm going to mention that to Jason. And then it just, it's escaping me. It's one that you would know because it stars Diane Franklin, one of your favorites. So,
yeah.
Yep. We got to bring her back around onto the mix here. So, all right, man. Well, I'm going to run and do dinner with the fam, but let's watch for some hockey, man. That's all I can say.
Okay, well, we'll see how the dates go. And again, next Monday is the training camp, and we'll see how that goes one step at a time.
Perfect. For now, this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.